What's that in the distance?
And now calling in, it is Undertaker Fred. My wife just told me I shouldn't call you every night, but I hardly ever do anything my wife tells me to not
Fred,
do.
Fred, well, that's not entirely true. Your wife told you to get rid of the casket in the garage, and you did that.
That's because I sold the house. I had to get rid of it. I didn't do it because my wife told me.
Fred, you told me that she said she was getting tired of seeing it in the garage. It was a reminder of your impending demise, and she wanted it gone. It was a sick reminder that bothered her every time she parked the car in there.
Yeah, but she couldn't get the car in the garage. They had the garage full of stuff.
Full of caskets?
I had two caskets, one for her and one for me.
They're gone now, though. Who got them?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? The guy who got them sent me the photograph. He turned it into a motorcycle.
Well, that was some... I sold a lot of them, you know, in that year in 79 when I sold the funeral chapel. I was able to sell the caskets and all the stuff that I could sell.
No, but you hung on to some after 79 in your garage.
Yeah. I held on to about three or four that were...
But you sold one, and this guy made a three-wheeler out of it, painted it purple, and sent me a photograph of it.
These are the ones I'm sure that I sold on the right outside the funeral chapel when I sold it in 79. I had caskets outside, and as long as I put the regulations with respect to burial of the dead human body and that you're required to do this, that, and the other thing... As long as I had a copy of that within the casket, there was nothing wrong with me being able to sell those.
No.
So I did.
Hey, Fred, when people would come to your funeral home and they would, have a death in the family and they'd be sitting around talking to you for the first time, would you ever break into Hold That Tiger, Hold That Tiger?
That was long before Hold That Tiger, Tommy.
What?
Tiger was just... He was... He was in knee pants and
no, the song.
I know the song to Hold That Tiger, but I don't know what year that song came out either.
Well, sure as heck is older than 1970.
Well, I'm sure it is, but maybe.
So when those guys came, did you ever, when they'd be sitting around in the funeral parlor there, did you ever get to laughing with them much?
Oh, sure, sure.
What, yeah. Do you remember some of the great, great laughs you had in the funeral parlor?
Well, yeah, one time my uncle, he was crazier than I am, I guess.
And no.
He
said,
yeah. That was my Uncle Ed. And he was the one that was a partner with my mother for a while in the funeral chapel. And
crazy was Ed?
Well, he was one day he was driving down the street and he had his daughter-in-law with him and he told her, boy, it's dark, and she was afraid he couldn't see. And then one time in the funeral chapel, he was down by the restrooms. We had a couple of restrooms right down at the end of the hall there, and the building's still there, of course. But down at the end of the hall, there were the ladies and the men's restroom, and he came up to the husband of the decedent, and he asked him, "Are you one of the pallbearers?"
That Ed, he was nuts.
He was nuttier than a fruitcake. But I was at the third annual reunion of Hillcrest today.
What is that?
Hillcrest Nursing Home out here, Minnetonka.
You were at the third what?
The third annual reunion of ones that had been at the Hillcrest Nursing Home.
A reunion of people who've been at the nursing home. Don't they go from the nursing home to the afterlife?
No, that's what they're trying to... They want to keep you living as long as they can today. Well, and Tommy, that's partly to the benefit of the medical profession and the pill popper.
The third annual nursing home reunion?
Yeah, third annual nursing home reunion.
Sounds like a bad joke.
When I got there, Kathy was leading the deal. She said, "Are you going to sing today?" And I said, "Well, I said I got my wife with me, and I'll sing only on request because she gets a little bit uptight when I do that." And
when is your wife happy around you? When does she find what you're doing interesting and appealing?
She's happy when she goes to bed and reads her book, and I sit here on the telephone talking to you. except she said I shouldn't call you every night. But I.
Are you henpecked?
Pardon?
Are you henpecked?
No, I'm not henpecked. No, Tommy. I've got. She's not even bought. I got a honey-do list up here.
Pardon?
She doesn't even have a honey-do list on the refrigerator. You know, that wouldn't do a bit of good. And
how long you been married, Fred?
It'll be on January 1st of 06. It'll be 55 years.
55 years. Yeah. Anything about her you still find mysterious?
Yeah. Oh, I don't find any woman who is not mysterious, Tommy.
I see.
They're all mysterious.
Okay.
And goodness.
Well, what is the mystery? How would you describe the mystery?
Just don't try to figure them out, Tommy.
All right, then.
That's the big mystery. But I wanted to say I went to that get rid of those branches from the linden tree in the big storm on Monday. And I couldn't hardly see looking out the windshield. And
Go sitting in the linden tree. It's anyone else but me. There's a twister, can't you see?
Wait a minute now, Tommy. I told Boomer about you must have been a beautiful baby and
you said that
and
to Boomer?
Baby Face, those two songs. And we sang some of those. They had a gal with that karaoke machine.
Oh, no.
They call it today.
Oh, no. And that's how you push people into the afterlife.
Afterwards, I got up and I danced with her and sang with her. And I pat her a little bit about three times on the rump. And
Fred.
And we had a great time. But the thing, you apparently
can get away with that at your age. I know a younger man who'd be doing time about now.
Well, that's like my Uncle Ed. He used to be pretty risque with the women, even. And I told the gal that
the dead ones, though, right?
I said, don't worry about him. He's had his teeth pulled.
I don't want to even spend a lot of time thinking about what that meant.
But I sang the majestic song for them today out at Hillcrest, and. And that was they went over big, and I had, and then but in going to the dump with all those branches, I got this thing I can reach up and get things out of the cupboard with, and I got a screw loose.
Yeah, you sure do.
And no, which is
you and Ed.
The screw.
You know, Wildcat has an Uncle Ed too. What's with you guys and your Uncle Eds? Her Uncle Ed is nuts. He lives down in Missouri, works on Minneapolis Moline tractors.
Has she got an Uncle Ed?
Yeah, she's got an Uncle Ed. I've talked to him on the air. He's gone too.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Ed.
Now, what we all would really, what we all could really use is an Uncle Al.
Well, Ed, I guess Ed really means witness in Greek. Maybe that's
Greek.
But
how can I follow this?
I don't know.
But who is that now?
Al.
Well, that's Al. Hi, Al.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Well, I
can't follow you, Fred. You're way over my head.
I got a screw loose or a temporary lost screw. I don't know which is worse.
Well, what can I say, Fred?
Well, I'm trying to find that. I got to see if I can tomorrow when I take some more golf clubs and pedal them.
Al,
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Al, are you able at your age to get away with some of the antics Fred's able to get away with in his
80s? I did that a million times. I'm just going to quote a phrase.
Right.
It ain't the age, it's the mileage. I used to have a great time.
You write that down.
Tomorrow is what?
I guess it's not the age, it's the mileage, Fred.
Well, not the age, it's the mileage.
Uh-huh.
Well, I sure put a lot of miles on the old ticker today, but
I'm sorry,
my
phone's going out here. I'm sorry.
Well, don't apologize.
No, we're back.
Huh.
Well, that's good, Al. And are you going to come over there to the station one day now, Al, or what?
Well, I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh,
my phone has just gone to hell here.
I'm
sitting here at the Notel Motel.
Oh, are you still at the Budgetel?
It's a pit. It's a real pit. But other than that, it's fine, you know.
Isn't a motel more expensive than just getting an apartment?
Oh, I had an apartment, but I couldn't pay for it, you know.
But isn't a motel more expensive over an entire month?
Yeah, it is, but I got people helping me, and stuff happens.
I see. Well, Al, you don't have any transportation to get in here this week, do you?
Well, I got transportation, but I probably only make it halfway there because I've got.
Well, Al, every single day you've driven that car since last time we talked, you could have been here seven times since then.
I know, but I'm driving on the cords now, Tom.
On the cords.
No.
Boy, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah. Right,
I was driving on the cords. I was driving down the cords down in the Amish community down there in Iowa one time.
I'm sorry.
The car started sliding all over, and I got out, and I looked at the tires. Boy, you could see the cords. And it's okay to be driving a cord, but don't drive on the cords if you got tired. I could go in and get new tires, and they put them on.
Brad, you're my hero. Next to Tommy, you're my hero.
Oh, come on,
Al, you're great, Al, and I just
we'll get a chance to laugh. You know, the whole thing is, Fred, laugh a lot, take care of the little kids and the old timers, and as long as you get to laugh, that's the key.
Just forget the Alzheimer's. It's just premature senility and
no, Fred.
And all that stuff about all these doctors and everything. And just steer clear of the doctors as much as you can, Al.
Well, I was really happy yesterday because I talked to my daughter. Her husband's an eye doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I can't see anymore. And I can't. And I'm just a young guy, but I can't see anymore.
Maybe you got what Ed had. Ed all of a sudden was driving, wasn't he driving down the road and said it's getting dark in here?
Yeah, it's getting dark. He's got cataracts, I'm sure.
Oh. No, I don't have cataracts, but I can't see. When I get my cheater glasses, it's a
3.0.
They don't make them any higher than that. I said, did you get any, like 4.0? And no, they didn't.
Well, can't you go to the doctor and get a prescription for
glasses? Oh, I could. I could. It's my son-in-law, and I just want to burden him with anything.
Well, you got to get a stronger pair of glasses. I had I got up to 325 or whatever it was, and that was.
You had a 325, Fred?
I think I got a 325 at Walgreens.
Kidding. Well, your eyes are worse than mine. I can't even believe it.
Yeah, well, I can. I've got.
I'm sure every single one of Fred's organs is worse than yours, Al, with the possible exception of his liver.
I got prescription eyeglasses now, Al, and they work fairly well. But then I didn't need to get the cataracts done. Thank God for that, because you can't lift more than 15 pounds after that, and you can't bend over. You can't do hardly anything.
Why is that, Fred? I don't understand.
What?
Why would that be?
Well, it's just because once you've had the cataract surgery, you've got to have eye drops for, I don't know, a month or so, and you can't lean over,
exactly,
and you can't carry anything heavy.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, it's the music coming up,
okay.
So I don't know if we should hang on, Al, or should we go to the Betty Bye?
Fred, I love you. Tommy, I love you.
Love you too, Al.
We love
you.
All right, we will.
We love you. We love you all. We love them all, but I did. It was a good old summertime. Come on, Tommy.
In the good old summertime.
Strolling down that shady lane with your baby fine. She holds your hand and you hold hers. And that's a very good sign that she's your tootsie wootsie in the good old summertime.
KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis, back after top of the hour news.